everybody. Welcome to Streets of Rage 2, the soundtrack. Music by Yuzo Koshiro. So, you know, one of our heroes. We have so much to talk about today. Oh, geez. It's the end of the month, so that means we're also going to be recording our bonus episode for March for our donors. So that's like three people. And just so you have a little preview of that, we're going to be talking about March Madness, specifically Jock Jams. So if you're interested in that, I don't know, I guess you better fucking kick in real quick. I don't know if there'll actually be time. You might be screwed. Anyway, I have my list of things that we needed to talk about because there lots of stuff has happened in the last couple weeks. We didn't even get to most of the stuff. Something just collapsed outside. Let's start right at the beginning. Apron. I had this idea because I try to eat burritos in the car fairly often. Always a mistake. Always a bad idea. The burrito seems like a handheld food, and I don't think it is. I mean, you eat it with your hands. I should say it's like a handheld food, but not a hand-contained food. You eat it with your hands, but holy shit, it's not a good idea to try and eat it while you're doing anything else. It's like when you go out for a burrito with somebody, when the burritos are there, you got to be like, all right, let's both shut the fuck up and just eat this and really, really focus. Because, you know, if you get that tilt at the top, if your burrito becomes slanted and then all the stuff falls out and you're just like, this is a mess. I don't even know why I bothered with this tortilla. They should have just thrown all this shit on a plate, and I could have just eaten it with my hands off the plate. It's like this one little thin layer of flour has us totally convinced of, you know, oh, well, this is a handheld food. Come on. Give me a break. So I had this idea that instead of not eating burritos in the car, because I was like, well, that's impossible, that what I would do instead is invent an apron for eating in the car. Now, this is not really an invention so much as a reuse of an existing invention. And it's not even that so much, because that's really an apron's purpose, right? Is to keep shit from getting all over you. So it's really just an apron that's in an unlikely spot. And you just keep it in your car. And then when you're ready to eat a burrito, you unfold it and whatever. Also, it needs to have a pocket that goes all the way around, kind of at like belly button height, to catch all the shit that falls out, so then it doesn't just end up in your car. So there you go. Boom. And that's an invention that I don't care about the credit for as much as I care about that it exists, because I just want to have it to not ruin my life anymore because of my crippling addiction to food. There was another thing. I don't know if you've heard about this. Let me see if I can bring it up because I don't want to say it wrong. There's a thing that was invented, I guess, called like period glue. I don't know if that's probably not called that. Okay, some dude invented glue for your period and the internet is not pleased. I don't know what this is called. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. This is a bunch of people's opinions on it, which I don't really care. Dops. That's the guy. Oh, it's called Menzies. Menzies. It's a feminine lipstick intended to stop menstrual blood by sealing together the labia minora. So there you go. The glue made of amino acids and oils in a lipstick applicator, of course, will allegedly dissolve when the user urinates, setting the stopped up blood free. So I guess people are really mad about this. Have you ever woke up with your lips stuck together? It didn't hurt and it was kind of fun. All you had to do was wet your lips from the inside with saliva and they became unstuck. That is the principle behind Menzies and a revolutionary safer blah, 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 blah. I guess that's what they say. And then people say like, oh, this is the mansplaining of periods. Men don't understand periods. Why are men always in our lady business? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. And, you know, whatever. This is fine. And I thought, okay, I can't really test it because I don't have a period or a vagina. But then I was like, well, I could just seal my pee hole shut, right? And as I was talking to somebody about this, they were like, wait, does it hurt to like squeeze your pee hole shut? Like, can you just do that? And I was like, well, I can't do it hands free. But, you know, I could use my fingers and pinch my pee hole together. And I was like, no, it doesn't hurt at all. It's like you make this little, you can make a little pee hole puppet. That should be my new claim to fame. I'm going to start making videos of my podcast and then move my pee hole along with the words in order to create a sort of puppet show. Shit, they already did puppetry of the penis. But did they do puppetry of the pee hole? Was the hole involved in the puppetry? Or anyway. And I was like, I guess I could seal that together. But didn't seem quite the same. So then I was like, maybe, although it was an interesting conversation because this person I was talking to was female and did not know whether or not it hurt to just like push your pee hole together. And I was like, interesting. It seems like maybe both of us don't know a whole lot about each other's genitals at times, because why would you know whether or not it's painful to squeeze your pee hole shut? I mean, I wouldn't expect someone to know that. Anywho, I was like, well, I think the only way to really test this would be to use it on my butt, right? That's the only way. I mean, I feel like the butthole is probably more similar or more, like, I don't know. It would be more interesting to me to find out. Like, I feel like the idea of having my butthole glued together seems more meaningful or something than my pee hole, or it seems more challenging. We got a lot of butthole stuff today, guys. Just warning you, this is merely the beginning of the butthole stuff. I just felt like the butthole would be a better test. Like, if I was like, I used it to glue my pee hole, I would probably use it on my pee hole, my mouth, and my butthole. That's the only holes I have. So that's the only way I could see. Maybe a nose, nostril would be good too. But then I thought, well, here's the problem with the butthole. It takes urine. Urine is what dissolves the glue, right? So I was like, what would I do? And I was talking to Poon Master Flex about this, and I was like, I guess I could put my own pee in my butthole. Like, I could pee in a jar and then splash it into my butthole. I just feel like it would be more effective if the stream was, you know, if it was straight off the tap. It was being sort of super soakered into my butthole. So I guess I could get a super soaker. But then I thought it would be hard to, like, zero bullseye my own butthole with a super soaker of pee. I mean, just, you don't have to add the of pee, Pete. You can just say it would be hard to zero in on my own butthole. So then, you know, I was just like, I think I would just have to get like a jar of pee or like maybe a little basin and sit in it. And then that would test the dissolving. And the unfortunate, I would have to also put pee in my nose and then pee in my pee hole. I mean, I could just pee my pee hole open in theory. That's why the pee hole is important to this whole equation. That's why the pee hole has to be done. So I'm curious. But then I was like, if I'm putting pee to unseal my nose, let's say, do I prefer that it's my own pee or someone else's? Like, which is grosser? And I had a pretty hard time answering that question. I'm not sure. I mean, because I thought, you know, hey, Poon Master Flex, what if I just came over to your house and knocked on the door and was like, here's a six pack of Dr. Pepper. If you could drink as much of this as possible and then save the urine for me, I'm going to need that pee. Sooner the better. And just give it to me as you produce it. Don't bother saving it all. And then once you've got that collected, I'm going to take it, and please don't ask me any questions about it. I don't know. I mean, this guy, the problem is probably that this guy's not really helping himself out, you know? He had a response to something that was like, I am a man and you as a woman should have come up with a better solution than diapers and plugs, but you didn't. Reason being, women are focused on and distracted by your period 25% of the time, making them far less productive than they could be. Which I was like, not a great way to sell it. Oh, and they made the great joke. Our best guess how to pronounce it is menses. Good one. Good one. Good article. So, I don't know. I feel like it was just a mistake. He probably should have just said, you know, hey, it's an option. No one's forcing you.
Do whatever you want.
You use whatever stuff you want and enjoy. Or not. Whatever the case may be. I don't know. I guess, like, I feel... I would be curious, like, if a woman invented a male birth control of some kind, I'd be curious. I don't know if I'd try it or not. I guess it depends. You know, like, birth control-wise, guys really have one option. Well, two-ish. I mean, they've got the condom, and then there's the snip-snip. And so, because I'm five, so that's what I call it. So, I don't know. I wouldn't mind another option in there. If someone was like, we made this glue, well, I don't know. I would picture a glue that sealed your end of your penis shut so sperm couldn't get out. And then it would go and it would be like in a cartoon when Bugs Bunny sticks his finger in the end of Elmer Fudd's shotgun and it just like, blah, and then the ball goes back. Having suffered the consequences of having urine go backwards in the system, I can't say I recommend it. Can't say I recommend it unless you just really want to have an ultrasound of your balls. Should we keep talking about the butt stuff? Went back to the doctor. If you're listening to this for like one of the first times and you don't really know what this is all about, you're just going to have to go back a little ways. Probably in the last year or so. I don't know. I'm not keeping track of this. No one's made a chronology for me, so I can't tell you what's going on, but I will say this. Fuck off. It's not that hard to figure it out, okay? So I've been having these butt problems. I go to the doctor again, because I was like, I just, you know, yeah, not really doing anything hasn't solved my problem. So that's my big answer. So this time, you know, I went ahead and got another finger in the butt. But this time, shit got real. So you go in there. Now, I'm of two minds about this whole thing. On the one hand, I think most dudes are a little overly phobic of having anything in or near their butthole. Which I'm like, I don't know, man. It's kind of like the difference between having sex with your wiener and taking a piss. Like when the doctor's sticking his finger in your butthole, it doesn't mean anything to me, I guess. It's not like, oh my God, I've been violated. on the other hand, it is pretty uncomfortable. You know, so I'm of two minds about it because I don't want to make anyone phobic of the idea of like, because at some point, as a man, you're going to just have to get a finger in your butt. It's just going to happen at the doctor. Or you cannot go to the doctor, I guess, but that seems like a bad decision. And then, you know, most people end up having like a colonoscopy or something like that at some point in their life. So here's the thing. I don't want you to be afraid of it, but I'm not going to lie and say it's pleasant either. I equate it to kind of like going to the dentist. Like it's not pleasant. I've never found the dentist pleasant, and anyone who does is crazy. You know, I mean, at best, it's just kind of boring. You're just sitting there, and it's like, every time I go to the dentist, and they're like, all right, it doesn't look like you got any cavities or anything, so we'll just do your cleaning. I'm like, oh my God, five teeth in, I'm like, good God, are they really going to do can't we do like every other tooth or something, and then do the other ones the next time? I mean, this takes fucking forever. And it's really, who cares? So it's, I don't know, it's a little like going to the dentist where you're just like, yeah, it's not pleasant or fun, but it's not like you're screaming in pain. So I go there, you know, and he's like, all right, well, and it's weird because the doctor, you can tell he's like a little bit like, I don't want to just say, well, go over there, pull down your pants, and I'm going to shove my finger in your butt. But he's like, if you want to go over there and maybe rest your elbows on the table. And I was like, all right. And he gets out this big thing of lube and squeezes it out like a fucking ketchup thing onto a paper towel. It's like when you go to McDonald's or something and you squeeze some ketchup out on a napkin for whatever reason. For some reason at McDonald's and the like, ketchup is in a little baggie, which you're like, that's impossible to eat in the car. Like, again, I guess you could use one of your car apron pouches and fill it with ketchup and then dip your fries in it. That sounds appetizing. And then like a little pinto bean floats to the top. So he squeezes the lube out and just goes to town. And now this gave me some perspective because my last exam, you know, he's like, I know I did like a cursory exam, but it wasn't anything serious. So he's like, I'm going to check for real, like check your prostate and all that. And I was like, all right. Boy, it seemed like he was pretty far in there. And, you know, twisting around, feeling all around on the inside, asking me, does this and that? You know, he's like, is this tender? And he was like, I guess touching my prostate or something. I was like, I don't know. And it was a tough question to answer because I was like, I mean, I don't think so. But I've never touched my prostate or had someone touch it. So it's hard for me to say. Does this feel more tender than usual? I mean, yes, in that someone's touching it, but no, it doesn't. I don't feel any sin. I don't know. It's a very difficult question. Sometimes I think what doctors do not appreciate is how difficult some of these questions are to answer. You know, or like you get a shot and they're like, it's just going to be a little stick or it's going to feel, you're going to feel some pressure. I'm like, I think I'm going to feel a needle stabbing into me. Like, I don't know, man. It's cool. You don't have to lie. And maybe part of it is like doctors have this different perspective, right? They're like, oh, I sawed a guy's leg off the other day. So really, this doesn't seem like a big deal. And I'm like, you're right. From your perspective, it's not. From the perspective of someone who this is the worst thing that's going to happen to them in the next, you know, couple weeks. Not fun. Not super cool. So anyway, he's really feeling around in there. And the highlight of the whole thing was he's got his finger in there and he's like, your sphincter muscle has great definition. Which I was like, I'm sitting there with his finger in my ass and I'm just like, do I thank him? Do I just say, okay? I mean, and that's what I said. I was like, okay. And, you know, because I was like, I don't know. How do I react to that? Do I need to react to that? Was he just kind of talking out loud? What just happened? Yeah. That's not even real life, right? Someone's like, your sphincter has great definition. I don't know. It's a little bit like if you went to, go get like a suit. And someone's like, which side do you dress to? You know, which side does your penis hang on? Which is something they ask you. And you're like, I go left. And they're like getting everything ready. And they're like, well, your penis hangs really nicely. And you're like, oh, yeah, totally. What's the answer? Or what's the response? I feel like the response is just like, pretend this didn't happen. Except you're like, but we're just in a room together and whatever. You know what else was weird about it, I have to say? Because, like, here's something I did like about it. I like that you're facing away from the doctor because I'm like, I don't really want to have to watch his face and wonder what he's thinking as far as, like, oh, this is no good or, like, whatever. However, I was like, I guess I've done face-to-face when I had the aforementioned issue with my balls. And I went to see a doctor, and it was, like, a young female doctor. And so when she felt my balls and she was feeling for like a hernia and she had to call this other nurse into the room who had to like stand there and watch. And she has to, I guess, watch this other person feel my balls. I mean, it's not like she can look away or something. And I just thought it was weird because I felt like, all right, we're talking about whether or not something untoward is happening. And it, I'm in the room with a young female doctor who's going to feel my balls versus a, you know, middle-aged male doctor who's got his finger in my ass. And in one of these situations, it's like, we better call someone else in to make sure nothing weird's going on. And in the other, whatever. Now, from my perspective as a patient, it's like, well, I mean, I guess that this guy could have his finger in my ass and be jerking off the whole time. Like, I don't know. You know, he's like taking a big whiff back there. Who knows? Who knows what weird shit he could be doing? And it has nothing to do for me as a patient with him being male or female. It's just like, I can't see what's going on. I don't know what he's doing back there. While the other one, it's like, I mean, what's she going to do? She is 4 inches from me, and I'm looking at her, looking at my balls. And I, you know, also, I feel like I need the other person there more when the finger's in my ass, because really, I don't really know if someone was feeling my balls and then started tugging on my dick. I'd be like, this doesn't seem like a legitimate part of the exam, right? Like, I feel like I have a pretty good idea at what point it was like, okay, now you're just playing around. This isn't medical. This is just you joyriding with my junk. But when it comes to, like, the butt, I don't really know. For all I know, he was just, like, having a grand old time, right? And I don't think any of that happened in either case. Just to clarify, I have no reason to suspect that. I just think it's weird, A, that they call someone in for one and not the other, but B, I don't understand. I guess they need to come up with a better way to make sure that nothing weird is going on. Because I'm like, so your way to make sure that nothing weird is going on is to call another person in the room who's then watching someone fool around with all my parts. Like that, in some films I've seen on the internet, that does not de-escalate the situation. That seems to make it more intense. You call the third person in, it's like, oh yeah, this mom and daughter who look nothing alike and whatever are going to bang the same guy. And so, you know, when the third person shows up is when you're like, you know, it's not like the third person, whoever that may be in the situation, shows up and you're like, oh, well, that really takes it down a notch in excitement, you know, ho-hum. So I don't know. It's a weird world. And I understand that they, I don't want to get sued or something, but I'm kind of like, I'm not going to fucking sue you. And if you start jerking me off, I guess I'll be pretty pissed, but I'll probably just be like, stop jerking me off. And I stopped going to that doctor anyway, because she did not correctly diagnose shit. So that was a disappointment. There you go. That's the latest news. So now I have an appointment with a gastroenterologist. I have to fill out all this paperwork. It's not for like a month. So you'll have to wait on that story until a later date. I called there and she was like, well, we can get you in with this doctor or his nurse practitioner. And it's way faster to see the nurse practitioner. And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't even know what's going to happen. So what do I care? I mean, if they're going to just ask me to bring in a pile of shit in a bag, yeah, I don't fucking need to see the doctor, right? But anyway, it's kind of like, well, who has thinner fingers? That's probably what I'd go for, just from a comfort standpoint. What else? We had some other little incidents this week. Oh, I got chumped into buying a couple of chocolate bars. Here's something that schools do that I don't care for. This fundraising thing they do. I remember in elementary school they did this, right? And they had this guy who came who had like a suit that was made out of dollars or something like that. And he would do this presentation, and then if you answered a question correctly, he'd give you like a dollar. And I guess we were supposed to, I don't know exactly what this paid for. I don't know if this is like just the sad state of affairs in public school that it's like, we're going to have to close the doors if these kids don't sell this fucking wrapping paper and chocolate bars and shit. And we sold a lot of Gold Sea coupon books. Golden Cunt coupon books. Which was the dumbest thing. Or, you know, you sell those little plastic cards that are like coupon cards. I hated that shit. So it's like, we're not even selling them any. We're just selling them a discount on other stuff they can buy. Big fucking deal. Like, why don't... Don't most people, like, as an adult-ish now, I feel like, just ask me for money. Can I just give you money? That seems better. That's preferable to me. So, I, you know, they're selling the chocolate bars, and I was like, all right, I'll buy a couple. Because I was like, well, I'll buy one for me, and I'll get one for Poon Master Flex as well. And I was like, they're like, well, we've got regular dark chocolate, the rice kind crunch, basically, and then caramel. Now, I never go with the regular because I'm like, that's going to be horrible. They usually have like an almond one, too. That's a little better. This is kind of my ranking, right? Dark chocolate I hadn't heard of before, but I was like, because I don't trust the quality of this chocolate, I don't know. I think that the idea of getting any other thing in addition to the chocolate is the way to go. Because that, if you have like a crunch bar, there's the puffed rice in there, and that eliminates some space that could be occupied by this terrible chocolate. So anything that decreases the amount of terrible chocolate that you're eating is probably the best way to enhance or augment the flavor such that it is edible. So that's why I chose caramel, because also I was like, I mean, caramel seems hard to fuck up. I mean, chocolate doesn't, I don't know. Chocolate can go a lot of ways, but caramel is like, it's just cooked sugar, right? That's all it is. It's like one ingredient. And it was terrible. I ate this and it wasn't very good. And then after I ate it, I felt like I was having like a fucking diabetic shock or something. Like I was all sweaty and like jittery and shit. It was not good. It was not a good situation. And so I bought a second one for Poon Master Flex. Because I was like, well, that would be nice. I'll bring her a chocolate bar. And then I ate the first one. And I never gave her the second one because I was like, I don't want to give her this. This is like giving her... She's going to be pissed at me for giving her this. And she'll be right to feel that way. Because when she gives that to me, if I was her, here's what I'd be thinking. I like to eat candy. But, you know, I have mixed feelings about it because I want to try and eat right and all that shit. So when I do eat candy, I'd like to eat stuff that is worth it. You know what I mean? That I eat it and I'm like, well, that wasn't great for me, but it was worth it to eat it, right? Like, I enjoyed it enough that it balances out with the bad for me part. This has probably the lowest ratio of that of all time. Like, a ridiculously bad situation there. So I didn't even give it to her. I spent like $2. This is the other thing. I'm like, can you guys like up the price of these a little bit and just do something? I mean, can you? I'm not asking for a lot, but I'm wondering why they can't just sell a crunch bar or something. I mean, I know why. It's because the company must sell these to the schools for like 5 cents, right? But holy shit. Could it be worse? Not a lot. Not a lot. I also, with Poon Master Flex, had a big revelation. Now, this may come as a surprise to some, because you may be in the same area of unknowing that I once was. I was once like you, a fucking idiot. Now I'm a smart. We were sleeping in her bed the other night, and this story is not sexy. Just, I like to diffuse a story before I get into it, just in case you were thinking you might be interested. And so she has like about, I don't know, 8 pillows on her bed. I went to I think I already told this story, that I went to a housewarming party and she had 16 pillows on the bed. We can talk about Women's March all day. You know, and I'm not going to talk about that. We can talk about gender and fluidity and all that stuff. I defy you to show me a dude that has 16 pillows on his bed. I don't know where this behavior comes from. I don't hold any high or low value to this behavior. I just, that's what it is. That's going to be my controversial statement of the day. Because you know how many pillows I had on my bed, like, when there were two people sleeping in it for a long time? Two. How many do I have now? Four. And they're pillows, like full-size normal pillows. So anyway, she throws most of these pillows off the bed when we sleep in it, and then, leaving four. And they have different looks to them. One matches the comforter, one matches the sheets. And I'd been sleeping on whichever one. I didn't really pay much attention to it. And then she was like, you know, you've been sleeping on the sham this whole time. And I was like, what is the sham? She's like, the pillowcase, that pillow you're sleeping on, it's not a pillow, it's a sham. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, why? What are you telling me right now? And she's like, that's not really meant to be slept on. It's just, it matches the other stuff and whatever, but it's not like a pillow. The other one is the pillow. So first of all, this made me enraged because I was like, wait a second. We have eight pillows on this bed and two of them are actual pillows, like actually meant to be slept on. So we have, you know, six pillows on this bed of the eight. The vast majority of pillows on here are just for fun, just for funsies, just decorations. This is something that I will never understand is like people who have a set of dishes that it's like, oh no, that's not, those aren't for eating off of. Those are for like pretending we're going to use someday when a grandma comes. You're never going to use those dishes. Just stop. Just either start using them or stop with the dishes. Like this is how I started feeling about, I had these tea towels, right, that a friend made for me like years ago for my birthday. And she had stitched cool stuff on them. One has like a roller skate and a guitar and like a Spider-Man thing. And I never used them because they were these white tea towels. And I was like, I don't want them to get all fucked up. But then I was like, they're just sitting in a drawer and I'm not enjoying them at all. So I started using them because I was like, I want to enjoy these and like whatever. And then eventually they won't be any good anymore and that's fine. But I will have enjoyed them. You know, I was just imagining, always when I've got this butt stuff, it makes me very introspective and I'm like, maybe I'm dying. Like maybe this is how it starts. And so then I think like, it'd be weird to go to the grave with these tea towels being like, what was I saving these for? You know, what life occasion was I saving this tea towel with a fucking robot on it that I was thinking, oh no, this is too precious to use. I'm going to save it instead. So anyway, I was furious because I found out the ratio of shams to pillows, but then also that, you know, I'd been sleeping on this for like months unaware. And now she just told me, and I was like, you know what the real sham is this relationship. Boom. And then that was that. But you know, now I just sleep on the pillow. So that's, I guess, a public service announcement there about sleeping on pillows that are shams. I have one more bed story. This is like also not a sexy story, but it started as a sexy story and turned unsexy, as many of my stories probably do, as my sexy stories do. Probably not most of my stories, but any story that could conceivably be called sexy, I feel like takes an unsexy turn very quickly. So we're like getting ready for bed. And I'm kind of laying on my side with my head propped up. And Boon Master Flex is like, "What is this like your alluring sexy pose? Like your Playboy pose?" And I was like, ooh, yeah. And so then like I start turning, like twisting to get into the real, like to really do it. Really do the Playboy position. And I tweaked my back so hard. Like I was doing it and I was like, oh. She's like, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, I just hurt my back so bad. And she's like, getting just from moving in bed. You're laying down and you moved and you hurt your back. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty fucking painful. And I was just like, okay, well, I'm 1,000 years old. That's cool. In an attempt to be sexy, it's like, this is like a joke that King of Queens would be like, eh, it's too easy. And it's my real life. That's what like aging is, I think, is these jokes that would be in King of Queens that they're like, I don't know, it's kind of low hanging fruit, is you're like, oh, that really happened to me. Or something worse really happened to me. We're making fun of this as being a not good enough of a joke. And I'm like, oh, that happened. That was some real shit that happened. Let's see. If we do two more things, I'd get everything on my list. But I don't think I want to. I think it's time to move on to the secret episode. So I guess, you know, hey, if you want to do it, sign up. You can donate. You go to my website, which if you don't fucking know it, you're stupid. I don't know how you would make it this far into it and be like, what is our website? And you'll see a link to the Patreon at the top. And that's how you can get it for yourself. So do it. Also, sign up for the newsletter. Seriously. Anyone will tell you that signing up for the newsletter is a good choice. I just wrote this long story for my newsletter. It's just one story about a giant shit someone took at my work that I had to try and break up. This is a new one. This is not an old one. And I was going to tell it on here, but I was like, no, I think this is going to be written. So there you go. All right. See you next time.